You know, the lushness this spring, it's in our property up in Pool Creek, it's greener than ever. The more raspberries, strawberries out, and it's beautiful. And I feel it's like a prophetic picture. That God, you know, rain in the Bible speaks of refreshing, of new life, of growth. And I really sense in the Spirit, there is something happening. There is a new life happening. There is a birthing. You know, God prophesied in the prophets in the Bible. It says about a time coming where the reaper will overtake the guy who sows the seed. And that's farming language, right? You sow the seed and 3 months later you can go harvest. But there is an acceleration happening. And 5 or 6 weeks ago, I preached on sowing in famine, how Isaac, I believe, he sowed in a drought when it was dry, and in the famine he was sowing seed. And I sensed that was the word for the season. And in my own life, like this spring, it was for the work, it was busier than ever. I had good work, and it seems even more is coming. And I pray that we would be smarter than turkeys. And I explain you why. Because we need to know the season we are in. Otherwise, we will not position ourselves to receive what God has for us. And we have those two turkey mothers at home, and they had fertile eggs, but they never actually were able to hatch them. And they sit on the eggs, and they are now already maybe 2 months sitting on some kind of, they were eggs at one time, but I think they go and poke and check if whatever is inside, if it's growing or, but usually it's empty shell, that's all there is. But God gave us wisdom, and so we took a few eggs away, and we hatched in the incubator 5 young, healthy turkeys, and they were now kind of big enough. 2 days ago, we brought them inside to the mothers, and they kind of cuddled around the mothers, wanting some warmth. But those mothers, they didn't get it yet. 2 days now, those little babies are there. They're still sitting on those broken shells. And so I think sometimes we are like that. You know, we sow into the kingdom. We are laboring. We wanna be fruitful. We wanna do what God has called us to do. And sometimes we cannot really bring life, you know, hatch the egg, so to speak, right? But God in His wisdom, and I want to encourage you with that. He already knows what you are. And ahead of time, He already took some eggs aside, and eventually you will even have harvest of stuff that you think you even messed up. And sometimes we don't recognize it right away, but just so that's kind of a neat, I call it a prophetic picture, right? And so I hope, I pray that we would know to understand the season we are in. And today's message, I did put a title on it, because in the future, if you maybe have struggled, and the title is, Your Sins Are Forgiven. And I like to speak that over you as a declaration. Your sins are forgiven through the blood of Jesus. And you know, it may be a message that, you know, it's probably like stuff you know already. But I believe this, the revelation of your sins being forgiven, I think you will never graduate. Because if you go through life, there is always situations where you know you came short. You know you didn't measure up to the best of your abilities or of what maybe you could have been. And we need to have a constant awareness of the forgiveness of our sins. And I really believe it's the foundation of the gospel, of the message that comes from the cross where Jesus died for our sins. You know, in my spiritual life, I have like a gauge. When you drive your car, you have the oil gauge, right? And if suddenly the oil gauge goes into red, you don't take a hammer and smack the gauge, right? Or like a couple of weeks ago, our car, it was overheating, but I didn't look at the gauge. And so suddenly there was steam coming. It looked like the car was on fire. It was only a broken hose, was very easy to fix, was no big deal. But if I would have looked at the gauge, I could have seen it earlier, because I ended up actually fixing the hose with a rag and a rope, and I drove another 100, 200 miles, no problem. If I would have looked at the gauge, I could have done it earlier. And then you have a fire alarm, and the alarm goes off. You don't go unplug the alarm, right? You look. And so I have this first scripture in my life. It is a gauge. And it's, you find it in Romans 6, 14. And if Linda would bring it up, it's in the New King James Version. And sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under law, but under grace. And so for me, that's a gauge. If I sense in my life that sin starts to have power over me, that's a red light that I need to work on my revelation on grace. Yeah. That I have to, and you know, what is grace? Grace, I feel that there is, it's unmerited favor, and there's different translations or explanation what grace is, but the one I like the best is divine influence. I don't deserve it, but God releases a strength, a power, a grace into my life to do what I couldn't do before. And to feel about stuff the way he feels, instead of the way my old nature feels. And so grace, divine nature, right? So if I sense that sin is overpowering me, I start to think about who I am in Christ. I start to think about forgiveness. And I start to position myself to receive that grace in a fresh way. And so the law, so I'm not under the law, but I am under grace. And I have the law, if I feel, if I'm under a law mentality, I could also call it a performance mentality. And I could, the definition would be, what can I do to become? See, that's what the law mentality is. You're in a place and you try to become holy. You try to become better, right? And if you're not careful, when you read the Bible even and you don't connect with the reality of Christ in your life, with the grace of God, you can read the Bible and you can come under a law mentality where you try to become better. You try to become good enough so God can bless you. And it's a trap, but the grace mentality would be what Jesus did, so I am. See, if you accept Jesus, and that's God's way of making the human people, making us right with God. If you accept the gift of salvation, then your sins are forgiven. And you are made right with God. And you can go into his presence, even after you messed up. And you can go and say, God, I messed up, forgive me. And you can know he forgives you. You don't have to ask twice. You can receive it and you can receive his grace. You can receive his guidance. You can receive his help by grace alone. Not because you obey you lift up to a certain standard. And when you receive that grace, it's suddenly easy to pray for your enemy. It's suddenly easy to love those who are unlovely because you yourself received grace. And then it becomes so natural to pass that on to others. You know, sin would be missing the mark. And I thought about sin a little bit, you know, and you may think of bad stuff like robbing a bank or pornography or lying and cheating, and those are terrible sins, and they will get you in bondage, right? But it's also just being spiritually lazy, for example. I was thinking about not to pray, not to have a habit of connecting with God. What is that? It's spiritual pride. You don't think you need it, right? And that's sin. Or neglect, like not helping somebody, not phoning somebody. Maybe God puts somebody on your heart and you could just pick up the phone and have a chat, see how they're doing, and maybe that's what God would want you to do at that moment, and you just ignore it. That's just as bad, right? It's you're missing the mark. And so sin shall not have dominion over you. And so in my life, I realized I had cycles in my life where I would see myself getting in bondage to maybe old habits or certain things. I wouldn't feel the freedom I used to have. And every time I would go back to some preachers or things, books, that really would strengthen my understanding of the grace of God. That would show me who I am and that I am forgiven. And I would start to convince my heart, Dan, you are forgiven. And when those things fall on you, no, I am forgiven. I am free. I am washed. And as I convince my heart, suddenly the pull of that sin is just weakening and falling away from me. And that's what I feel God wants to do. And I sense when I prepare this message that there are people here that maybe all their life they had a struggle with some issues. And maybe you have even given up hope that it could ever change. And I really believe God wants to release a key to you. And the key, I really believe, is your sins are forgiven. Even the ones you commit tomorrow. That doesn't mean you can go live however you want. You know, if you're not following Christ, if you're not seeking his presence and not seeking his help, it can be bad for you, right? But if you seek him, you will find him. And he wants to help. And he already paid for you. Sin has no power over me because I'm not motivated by the need to become a better person. I just paraphrased it a bit. See, sin will have no power if you're not motivated by a need to become. But I am motivated by the love of God that is in me through the forgiveness of sin. Without the forgiveness of sin, God's love couldn't even reach you. I just want to quickly reflect on Adam and Eve. Because Adam and Eve in the garden, they were made in God's image. And God was teaching them. Every night they would walk by God. And then the snake came. See, sin was in the world already. And God already had a plan to get rid of sin on this planet. And so Jesus, it says, was already before the foundation of the earth, was already in God's mind there to get away with sin. And so Adam and Eve, they are in the garden, and there's only one commandment, one law. Don't eat of this tree, right? And the law was there to give power to sin. So there is something we don't maybe understand everything, why it happened like that. But the story goes on. The snake comes and talks to Eve and says, if you eat that fruit, you will be like God. Was not Eve already in the image of God? See, she was maybe smaller, but she was made in the image of God. And as time would have gone on, God would have taught Adam and Eve everything and would have instructed them about the wisdom, about good and evil. Everything would have grown because they were an offspring of God. And so Eve, in a sense, she wanted to become something that she already was. Like God, right? And that's the lie the enemy used at the very first time he got man into sin. And that's the lie he will use in your life. He will try to get you to become something that you already are. You, if you receive Jesus, without Jesus you're lost. But if you receive Jesus as your Lord, then you are made the righteousness of God. You are made sinless, spotless. And so if you fall tomorrow, if you do something that you know you shouldn't have done, you can right away say, God, thank you for your forgiveness. I don't want to have anything to do with that. Help me, teach me, lead me. But thank you that I am your child. Thank you that I am washed. Don't beg God to wash you. Don't beg him to forgive you. He already promised he would do it. You are already washed. You are already righteous. You are already a child of God. And as you mature, those things will fall off. So we declare the forgiveness of sin. I'm going to read the story in Acts 10:43-48. And there is Peter visiting through a vision that God gave him. He visits Cornelius, and Cornelius had an angel appear. So it was a very dramatic situation. And so Peter goes to this Gentile, where up to that point, the Jews, most of the believers were only Jews. And they never shared the gospel with non-Jewish people. And so here Peter, the first time he shares this good news from the cross. And so he says to him, he talks about Jesus. And so to him, all the prophets witness that through his name, Jesus' name, whoever believes in him will receive remission or forgiveness of sin. And the next verse, while Peter was still speaking those words, the Holy Spirit fell on all those who hear. See, Peter was not telling them how rotten they were and how they need to measure up, how they need to read the Bible more and do things better and treat the neighbor better. That's not what his message. He was preaching the forgiveness of sin, and the Holy Spirit fell. It was like another Pentecost. The Spirit came. And you know, Phil mentioned on the message at Pentecost how when the Spirit fell 2,000 years ago, they were talking in languages that they hadn't learned, and everybody understood. And it was a reversal of what happened in the Tower of Babel. And the Tower of Babel was way, way, way earlier, before Abraham, just at the time of maybe Noah, after Noah, way long, way before. And the people, what they tried to do, they tried to build a tower, and they wanted to reach heaven. And I really believe, again, that's a prophetic picture. God could not tolerate that. That man, by his own effort, would reach heaven. And so God confused their language, and they had to stop. But at Pentecost, when the Spirit came, that curse was broken. And now we can understand God again, and we can understand each other again. And we can reach heaven now, not by our own efforts, but by accepting what Jesus did. And here, Cornelius and his whole household accepted the message. And the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, the divine nature, came on them. And immediately Peter called that they would be baptized. Shall we read on? How much did I give you on those scriptures? Yeah, let's read on. And those of the circumcision who believed they were Jews were astonished, as many as came with Peter. They were shocked because the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on the Gentiles, non-Jewish people. For they heard them speak with tongues and magnify God. Then Peter answered, can anyone forbid water that they should be not be baptized who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord, and they asked him to stay a few days. And that's it. Here we see the two baptisms. They got baptized in the Spirit with fire, like John the Baptist. He said Jesus will come and baptize you in fire. And so here they got this baptism in Holy Spirit, and then they also baptized them in water. And that's God's plan for us, to grow in him, to be touched with him, and to start walking together with other believers in obedience with him. Now the next verse in this little Bible study is Galatians 3, 1 to 5. And there is a few years later, the gospel now has gone around the world and people are getting baptized and filled with the Spirit, and they experience the grace of God, the forgiveness of sin, and churches are happening in many cities, and Christianity is going across the whole known world. But in Galatia, a strong established church, some people start to go back to this law mentality. And some of them, they get in bondage again. And maybe they are not doing the outward sins, but they come into a religious spirit. which is just as bad as old unclean sins as we know it. And so here Paul writes to them, "Oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you that you should not obey the truth? Before whose eyes Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. This only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law, by being good, by obeying regulations, by bettering yourself, or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now being made perfect by the flesh or your own efforts? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if indeed it was in vain? Therefore, he who supplies the Spirit to you and works miracles among you, does he do it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith?" And to me, the key words, the hearing of faith. See, you need to fine-tune your hearer. If you struggle with something, check that hearer thing. And how is it adjusted, that hearing thing? It starts in the beginning of this passage. Jesus was crucified, right? That's the key. What comes out of the crucifixion? Your sins are forgiven. And so if you have a place, if you have if you walk in a valley, if you feel you're in darkness, if you feel that your prayers are not answered, or you're not victorious in your walk, or nothing works out, even if you need a job, whatever it is, tune your forgiving thing. Get your ears open to understand you are forgiven. And you will see suddenly your prayers answered. Suddenly God can move into your life with his divine power and make a way where there seems to be no way, and give you hope in your hopeless situation, and bring a future and restore the ears, the locust state. Restore the damage that's been done, maybe through foolish decisions of your parents or of yourself. God wants to restore that. He wants to bring life, newness of life. One more scripture, 2 Peter 1, 4-9. Can you handle it? A lot of scriptures. You know, maybe if you want, you can re-listen that message and go through those scriptures and study them. I really believe it will change your life. 2 Peter 1, 4-9. By which? It's by the Spirit that they received. See, they received the Holy Spirit, right? So by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these promises you may be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. But also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love. For if those things are yours and abound, or other translations, if they are yours in an increasing measure, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And here it talks about like the fruits of the Spirit. See, they grow in you. And if they are not growing, it's like a tree. If there is no more growth, it's dead. And so if those qualities are not growing in us, if there is not a constant growth, then we are dead. So for he who lacks these things is short-sighted even to blindness and has forgotten. What did he forget? That he was cleansed from his old sins. Do you get the point, the key I'm trying to give you? It's not trying to be better. The fruits of the Spirit, they don't come by you trying to be a good Christian, by you trying to be a good neighbor to your neighbor and witness or read your Bible and go to church. The fruits of the Spirit, they come by you abiding in his love. And if you sense condemnation and guilt, You cannot receive his love. It's not that God doesn't love you. It's there's something blocking the flow of his love into your life. And that's why it's so crucial to get rid of this sense of condemnation and uncleanness. God wants to wash us. The last scripture. It's like a barbed wire fence. One more poke and you're through. Luke 5:18-20. So here we have a story. Jesus is preaching the gospel in a house. It's crowded there. That was before COVID. So they were shoulder to shoulder. And those four guys want to bring this cripple to Jesus to be healed. But they cannot go in. And it says in the passage before, it says the power of God was present to heal. But it also says the Pharisees and scribes and doctors of theology, they were sitting in there around Jesus, maybe ready to argue about the Bible, about the Word of God, about doctrine. And I'm sure some of them were sick and crippled and struggling with sin in their life. And the presence of God was present to heal, but nobody could receive anything. And so let's read this story. Then behold, man brought on a bed, a man who was paralyzed, whom they sought to bring in and lay before him, Jesus. And when they could not find how they might bring him in because of the crowd, they went up to the housetop, made a hole in the roof, let him down with his bed through the tiling into the midst before Jesus. When he saw their faith, he said to him, "Man, your sins are forgiven you." And you know, I like this picture. That's the first thing Jesus said. Your sins are forgiven. Why are his sins forgiven? We don't even know if he actually made any effort to come to Jesus. Maybe he even didn't want to come. Maybe the friends just grabbed him and brought him there. And I just feel it's such a lovely picture. You know, maybe somebody dragged you here. Right? Maybe somebody makes you listen to this message. But God is so willing to help. He's so willing to give. And Jesus here, he didn't question him. Have you repented? Are you willing to make retribution for your sin? Are you willing to change your life? No, just freely. He says, your sins are forgiven. And then, of course, the story goes on. You can read it yourself. He speaks the word and the man is healed. Right? And I just feel for all of us here. I just sense God wants us to just receive his forgiveness. And whatever you felt in your future, whatever you felt in your life is limiting you, receive his forgiveness. He wants you to enjoy a good life. And he wants us to be free. And it starts with receiving what he gives. It doesn't start with you working harder and trying harder. Just receive it. It's a free gift.